and welcome to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. This is your host, Jeanette Brown. Today's episode is brought to you by Georgetown McDonough's MBA program. We are talking about something that I like this week, and that is deciding between schools. This is when applicants who have been fretting for months about whether they're going to get in suddenly find themselves with the terrible dilemma of whether to go to Harvard or Wharton or Stanford. Some might call those luxury problems, but joking aside, it is really a challenge. Like, you have spent all this time trying to put forth your best self, and then you find out that lots of schools want you. How do you decide which school is truly the right school for you? And, you know, I think some of it comes down to intuition, but there are also a lot of truly tactical ways that you can go about it. And I've got Graham Richmond here, our co-founder, to help talk us through and expound upon some of those. So welcome, Graham. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure, Jeanette. Yeah, this is a great subject. I'm excited too. I think that it's, this is like that moment where the stress of getting in, dissipates. And then suddenly there's this sort of new kind of nice stress around like, where should I go? And I think, you know, if you're fortunate enough to get into schools that are, you know, kind of comparable and really great, you know, that's where it gets really challenging. Obviously, if you get into your safety and your reach, you go to your reach, right? I mean, but it's more the gray area of like what happens when you get into schools that are kind of similar. Or we can also talk a little bit in this episode about money. You know, what happens when school A offers you a lot of money and school B doesn't? You know, so there's a lot to tackle, and we do have. I do think that a lot of times it does come down to like, what's the feel? Where do you really feel like you'd be best off? But we have some very tactical things that we can kind of share with folks in terms of like a, you know, 6-step process on how to go about picking between schools.
Great. So step number one, immerse yourself. Tell me a little bit about what that means since you've been in this position.
Yeah, so immerse yourself just means, you know, if you haven't visited the campus, like, by all means, go to the school, see what you think of the environment. And this can be done either as part of a welcome weekend, which I encourage folks to listen to our podcast on welcome weekends or admitted student events, because that's a good episode that'll give you a lot of very specific advice on how to, you know, specifically approach this aspect of it. But even if you're not going to an admitted students event, you could still just visit the campus, you know, obviously, ideally before classes are out for the school year, but going to campus, meeting faculty, attending a class, talking to current students. I mean, these are just ways that you can, you know, get a feel for the place. I mean, after all, you are going to spend, in many cases, 2 years. Obviously, in the case of INSEAD, it's more like one, but in most cases, 2 years. In this environment. So go and see it up close. That alone can do wonders for the decision-making process.
And then I think it's important to do some soul searching. You've done some soul searching in the process of applying, but now think really hard about what are your immediate priorities and which school is going to help meet those.
Yeah, I mean, I think that in the process of applying, you go through this song and dance of like figuring out why each school you've applied to is absolutely the right fit, why you're enamored with their teaching method or class size or close-knit, you know, community. But now that you've been admitted, you can kind of step back from that and give some serious thought to whether you really want a small student body or whether you would thrive in a really large environment with tons of elective course offerings, you know. So this is a chance to think about even the little things like location, and just what you're looking for, how important is the case method of instruction to you. I remember, you know, when I was applying to business school, obviously there were schools like Darden and HBS that, you know, have this very extensive use of the case method. And I had read about it, but had a somewhat foggy notion of what that meant. But then I went on to learn as I conducted research that nearly every top MBA program uses the case method. It's just a question of to what extent they use it. You know, is it exclusively case the way that HBS does, or nearly exclusive, or is it, you know, just a mix of lecture and team projects and case studies and things. So this is your chance to really kind of think about what works best. I also think, you know, as I mentioned earlier, what might seem like a small detail, location, can actually be pretty important. Like, do you want to be in a really small community like Charlottesville for Darden or Hanover for Tuck, you know, or do you want to be kind of have the ability to kind of disappear into a large city, you know, at like UCLA or Columbia or NYU or something? So there are these different, you know, different offerings based on where these schools are located. And so I think that can be important to consider. So just this kind of location, size, teaching method, what are you looking for? You know, is it this close-knit, we're all in this together kind of experience? Or, you know, what best suits your style? You already know you're capable of greatness, but wondering just how much you can achieve isn't enough. To truly have an impact on the world, you have to go find out exactly what you're made of. It's what sets the doers apart from the merely curious. With a curriculum designed to prepare you for the global stage, plus access to all Washington, D.C. has to offer, Georgetown's McDonough School of Business is the perfect launchpad for your career. Get started at choosegeorgetown.com/MBA.
I also think this is a time to consider life outside of business school and who else is going to be impacted by your choices. So for some people, it's absolutely, I'm going to go to my reach school. I'm thrilled I got in. It's Harvard or bust. But it can get more complicated, say, if you have a significant other who is really involved in his job on the West Coast, or if you are a single mom and would have a larger community of support if you stayed and went to UCLA Anderson, but you don't want to turn down an acceptance at Wharton. And there aren't right or wrong answers to these questions, but this is the time to think them through.
Yeah, and I think sometimes folks who closely follow, you know, rankings and discussion fora across the internet often are led to believe that, oh, you just go to the school that's most highly ranked. And that kind of, you know, completely ignores a lot of the personal factors and in some cases even things like, you know, scholarship money. So I think you're absolutely right. You know, if you, I mean, I'll give you an example, just a very personal example. I was pretty interested in the Tuck School at Dartmouth when I first started kind of thinking about business school. But my now wife, then girlfriend, was, you know, there wasn't really a lot on offer in terms of her career. She had a very specific career that she was working in, and it just didn't really mesh with a life in Hanover. So then it was kind of, well, do you live 2 years apart? What do you do? So these are factors that you have to take into consideration when you're figuring out where to attend. I mean, I will say for Tuck's part, they have a really fantastic kind of partner community. And so that's another thing to think about, you know, is how welcoming is the school of partners and how active is that community on a campus? Because often, you know, schools that are in more remote locations go above and beyond in terms of welcoming partners and even in some cases finding them employment within the university, et cetera. So, yeah, these are all factors that you have to kind of keep in mind as you think about the student experience and those, you know, 1 or 2 years you're going to be spending on campus.
Thanks for sharing, especially how it really impacted you personally. Beyond thinking about sort of your immediate priorities, you also need to take a step back and think a little bigger to jobs you want to see yourself in down the line and how attending X, Y, or Z school can best prepare you for that.
Yeah, and I would say this tip, which I guess is our really kind of our third tip, has almost two parts to it. So part A would be, where do you want to go kind of immediately following business school? So, you know, both geographically and obviously industry and function-wise with respect to your job. So this is, you know, a chance to kind of kick the tires on the school. Think about, okay, I want to be a consultant. How many students are they placing into consulting each year, and at which firms ideally? Because you may already know a couple of the firms that you're interested in targeting, or in what region are most of the candidates who take consulting jobs working? You know, because that may be important to you as well. So that would be part A. This kind of like, what's my short-term post-MBA career plan, and how well-equipped are the schools that have admitted me at placing people into that type of job? So that's part A. I would say part B is very much like you were saying, think big beyond that first job that you're hoping to secure. What's the program's kind of regional and global brand? What are the alumni clubs like in those far-flung markets that you're thinking of maybe working in someday? Or how strong is the alumni network in a specific field? Perhaps you want to work in finance and maybe investment banking in the near term, but in the long term, you have your eyes on some kind of fintech play. And so you might want to know both how good is the school at placing you immediately after graduation into, you know, that investment banking job, but also, you know, to what extent is there fintech stuff happening on campus and in the alumni network that could facilitate the longer term plans that you have? Or, you know, maybe you'll be fundraising to launch this fintech initiative and you want to know, you know, what's the entrepreneurial community like coming out of the school and in terms of the alumni network? And, you know, are there a lot of founders and people funding ventures in the network that you could tap into? So I would say that our third tip is really this kind of two-pronged short-term goal and long-term goal, and thinking about, you know, geography, career, specific industry and function, and yeah, the caliber of the alumni network and what they have on offer.
Great. And next up, we title this tip, not all offers are equal, because indeed they are not. Very often you are going to be presented with a really tough choice between maybe a school that you are dying to go to, but offers you not so much in the way of scholarship aid, which is aid that you don't have to repay, versus a lower tier school that is going to give you a full ride. And that's a significant choice to confront. Do you have some advice? Like, I personally was in that precise situation, and for a number of reasons, I went with a full fellowship to a good but not as highly ranked school. And it was the right choice for me, absolutely. But do I sometimes think about that other school and what career opportunities it might have opened up? How do you advise applicants to, you know, really take the hard money questions into account?
Yeah, this is a really personal decision, because I think obviously not every applicant has kind of the same personal financial situation. And so for some candidates, the idea of, you know, half tuition at school A might be really hard to walk away from, even though school B is slightly higher ranked but isn't giving any money or something, right? So it's kind of a personal decision. And again, you'll see across the internet people saying, oh, don't be ridiculous, you're going to make a ton of money as an MBA grad, and, you know, don't get tempted by a quick 40 grand here or there when, you know, 10 years from now, that'll seem like a drop in the bucket. Obviously, that'd be a great, great position to be in if you're, you know, making so much money when you're post-MBA that it doesn't matter that you walked away from a really hefty scholarship. But obviously, not everyone can think that way. And not everyone has the kind of financial wherewithal to afford to think that way. So I would say, though, if you are comparing two schools, one where you've got a big scholarship offer and one where you don't, I think, you know, you need to make sure that you're not selling yourself short, you know, that you're really making sure that the school offering the scholarship dollars is providing you with access to the career that you're seeking, you know, in both the short and long term. And, you know, you might also think about, well, does having the scholarship in some way provide you with additional resources that might allow you to stand out from others in the student body? You know, so obviously, sometimes when you get a full tuition scholarship or something, or even a half tuition, that's something you put on your resume, right? And that can help you stand out. So there are things to consider there. This is not an easy decision. And, you know, I think it's also worth pointing out that sometimes the schools offering the money know that. I mean, they're offering the money because they recognize that this is, it's designed, you know, to entice you away from perhaps a school that, that could be perceived as being more highly ranked. So I think, you know, again, very personal decision. Don't get too swept up in the rankings as you, you know, kind of go through this, because, you know, again, it's personal, and not everyone can afford to make the same decisions. So yeah, this is a tough one though. And I think we'll talk in a moment about one of our other tips is, you know, how to analyze some of these things. And there are ways to kind of look at behavior patterns in terms of what others before you have done when it comes to scholarship offers.
Yes. And with that, I am going to invite you to talk a little bit about how to do that analysis and to underscore the point that it's okay to ask for feedback when you're confronted with a decision like this. Don't feel like you have to make it in a vacuum. In fact, it's far better to reach out and explain all of the complexity that you're wrestling with and get other viewpoints to help you ultimately reach the right choice. So tell me a little bit about how you recommend doing some analysis when you're confronted with the choice of where to go to school.
This final kind of tip here about conducting analysis is really, it's relevant not just for folks who are debating a scholarship offer here or there. It's just, it's also, you know, valid for anyone that's trying to choose between schools. And I would say in part because of our understanding that these dilemmas can be pretty, you know, pretty gut-wrenching, excuse me, we designed a tool on our site called DecisionWire. And that tool, as many of our listeners are familiar with, it's you know, a tool that allows you to kind of indicate, here's where I applied, here's where I got in, and, you know, here's the job I want post-MBA, here's where I want to be location-wise in terms of a geography, here are my numbers. I mean, it's got all kinds of little data points on the candidate in question, and you can indicate, here's where I'm going, if you already know, and that's what, you know, the majority of people do with DecisionWire. But then there's a hefty group that also indicate that they're undecided. And so they put this out onto our site, and we get all this rich feedback from folks on our team, as well as just, you know, your fellow applicants who kind of weigh in and offer their thoughts, and sometimes current students who are visiting the site will weigh in as well. So that's, you know, obviously DecisionWire is a really great tool that allows folks to help kind of, you know, think through this decision. You can also sort past DecisionWire entries so that you could try to identify others that have already gone through this process and made the same, you know, had to make the same kind of tough decision that you're facing right now. So you could literally sort DecisionWire for people who are admitted at a given school and then see, okay, well, where else did they get in? And for those that got into the same batch of schools that you did, how did they, you know, what was the choice they made? And often our candidates on the site are, you know, providing reasons and the rationale behind the decisions that they've made. Another thing that we added to DecisionWire, I guess a little more than a year ago, is this sort of ability to share scholarship dollar information, which speaks to my earlier point about, you know, how do you decide between scholarship offers or lack thereof in some cases. And so DecisionWire also has, you know, kind of scholarship information. So you can see, oh, this person had the same, you know, dollar amount offer that I had. And what kind of decisions did they make? How did it sway or not sway, you know, their decision when ultimately making the choice? So I think, you know, obviously rankings are always a fun starting point when you're looking at schools to apply to. And some people revisit rankings when they're trying to figure out where to attend in terms of like, oh, I'll go to the highest ranked. But as we've discussed in this podcast, it's obviously much more nuanced than that. There are personal things that may come into play. There are career-specific outcomes that you're trying to achieve that may trump kind of anything that the rankings say. And then again, you know, there's the whole issue of like, yeah, just it's a personal decision. It's a fit question. And there's so much more than just kind of, okay, I'm going to go to the best ranked school. And that's kind of why we built DecisionWire, to help candidates sort of discover this and to be able to do more analysis around where to choose.
And to reiterate a point that you made, Graham, I have been so delighted to watch the ways in which our applicant community have really evolved into using the undecided feature on DecisionWire, and the really thoughtful and compassionate and insightful conversations that take place there. If you haven't checked it out, and or if you haven't thought of Decision Wire as a place to go if you're wrestling with a decision, I really recommend it. Both expert advice from our team of experts, but then the really thoughtful advice from fellow applicants. It's really nice to witness, and I think that the people who participate in it really get a lot out of it.
Yeah, and I think it's a testament to the value of this tool that we even see admissions officers at schools kind of looking at it to sort of understand, you know, how candidates are making decisions. And yeah, so it's been a real success. And obviously, we don't want this podcast to be a total promo for something that we've built. But I do think this is one of those cases where, you know, look, it's a free tool. We're not charging you to use it. So by all means, avail yourself of all the data that's in there as you seek to make what's often a really challenging decision between two or more programs that have admitted you.
So in closing, I'll just quickly recap. If you are struggling to decide between offers at multiple schools, our advice to you is to first immerse yourself, get to know as much as possible about the individual schools you're choosing between, visit if possible, and then consider your immediate priorities in terms of location, size, teaching method, where you want to work immediately upon graduation, and then take a longer view, thinking about the school's placement statistics with firms you might want to work with farther down the line. And thinking big, which means think about the program's reach and brand and how its alumni network may serve you in an entirely different part of the world. And then the point about the money, that not all offers are equal, and that when you're faced with a choice between a full or half scholarship at one school and less money elsewhere, it ends up being a pretty personal decision that takes some time and thought and effort to know that you're making the right choice. And then lastly, the analysis, which, as we've pointed out, if you're so inclined, you can really do some great analysis using the DecisionWire tool. I think that sums it up. So we congratulate you for being in the enviable position of having to choose between offers, but we really do recognize that it's a tough spot and these aren't easy questions, and we wish you luck. We hope that some of these points can help you make your way through them. Thanks as always, Graham, for joining and for all of your insights.
My pleasure.
We will look forward to catching you here in our next episode.